the name of the series that we're doing for about 8 weeks now. That has to do with kind of the basics of the Christian faith. And starting from the beginning, last week was Creator, and we'll end up about 2 months from now on things like, how do I become a Christian? What does it take for me to join this story, this Christian story? So we're kind of going to do the big overall sweep. And today, we're talking about the message of the Old Testament. And today is a special day because our smaller children, those between the age of 3 and 3rd grade, are with us today during the sermon time. And I'm especially excited to have you here. And I've been thinking about you all week and praying about you. And I'm hoping and praying that this will be something that speaks to you as well. And now, to that point, you guys should have a special little handout that I made up for you. And if you don't have one of those, raise your hand. And Caden in the back will hand that out to you. Everybody got one of these? Okay, because it's kind of important. Now on this, there are some pictures for you to kind of color as we go along that have to do with the sermon today, so keep up with the sermon. But also, there's a phrase that we're going to be saying throughout the sermon today. And every time we say this phrase, I want you to circle the number of times that we've said it, okay? And the phrase is, God is faithful, He is always faithful. And what we're going to do is, I'm going to several times say, God is faithful, and then everybody, even the big adults out there and the kids, are going to say, He is always faithful. So let's practice that, okay? God is faithful.
He is always faithful.
Pretty good already. All right. So if we were counting, then you would have circled the one there. But that one doesn't count, okay? We're starting from scratch here. So, and I want you guys to bring that sheet to me afterwards, and let me see what you did. Show me what you did afterwards, and I've got something for you, okay? All right, so this morning, we're so excited to have you here. Today, we're exploring the message of the Old Testament. And, you know, as I thought about this, how do you cover the whole message of the Old Testament in 20 minutes or 25 minutes? It's impossible. So I pulled out some more of my hair this week. I know you can't really tell, but anyway, some more is gone thinking about how am I going to cover this. It's a massive book, 39 books of the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, with all kinds of different authors from Moses, David, the kings, chroniclers, prophets, anonymous sages, all kinds of people contributed to this massive book, written over a long period of time. But one of the things that we've got to keep in mind is that this Old Testament contains a coherence. It sticks together. It's got a common message all throughout it. And I believe that that testifies to its divine origin. It comes from God. And there's only one God. And He speaks to us through His Old Testament, through the Scriptures. We want to zoom out and ask this question. What is the overall message of the Old Testament? Truly, I believe it could be summed up, God is faithful.
He is always faithful.
Okay, that's our theme for today. God is faithful. He is always faithful. Let's ask Him to be with us. Father, come be with us and teach us and help us understand. We thank You that You, in Your awesome power in creating the world, that You bent down to communicate to us. You humbled, You spoke to us in ways that we can understand. And I pray today, Lord, that You'll help me to speak to everyone here in a way that everyone can understand. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. God the Promise Maker. When you look at the Old Testament, if you go back and read your Old Testament Bible, you're going to be running into something over and over again that tells us about the nature of God. It tells us who He is. And the number one thing about God that I see in the Old Testament is that He is a God who makes promises. He's always making promises. Now, in the Old Testament, if it's a kind of a specific kind of promise that involves a give and take, it's called a covenant. A covenant. And there are several in the Old Testament of great importance. And one is Noah's covenant. In Genesis chapter 9, we see God making a covenant with the people. There's been this problem. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden because of their sin. And sin just got worse and worse until finally God said, I look around and all I see is that man's heart is devoted to sin all the time. And so He sent this great flood to punish the people. But after that, He saved 8 of them, kept them in the ark, and after this, made a solemn covenant with Noah and with the world. He said, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. The Lord made this covenant with the world, saying, every time you see a rainbow out there, so kids, if you go on the way home today, we see a rainbow, we think to ourselves, wow, God is never going to destroy the world in water again. That's a promise that He made. And when we see the rainbow, we should think, God is faithful. He is always faithful. That's right. He always keeps His covenant. We could look at other parts of the Old Testament. We see covenants. Genesis chapter 12. This is where God takes this one man, Abram, and He moves him from ancient Mesopotamia, the civilized portion of the world at the time. And He says, hey, go to a place that I will show you. And he goes on a journey. And he makes this promise to him. He says, I will make you a great nation. If you look at Genesis chapter 12, God promises Abram this. I will make you into a great nation. Verse 2 of chapter 12, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And if you look a bit further in the book of Genesis, in chapter 15, He makes this actual covenant with some kind of interesting animal things going on there. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. And then in chapter 17, He reaffirms this covenant and says the sign of this covenant will be circumcision. God is a God who makes promises. He made also another covenant with the Israelites through the law of Moses. He brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and He promised them that He would be with them and take care of them. When you read the Old Testament, when you read the Bible, you see that God is one who makes promises. He is a promise maker, and He is a promise keeper. God is faithful. He is always faithful. He keeps His promises. Now, God is faithful, but what is He faithful to? God is faithful to His people. We look all throughout the Old Testament, we constantly see God keeping His promise. He promises to take care of His people, and He will do that. Do you remember the story of Abraham? I mentioned it earlier. He takes that nation, He's going to make it into a great and big nation. He takes them down into Egypt. Because there's a famine that's coming, He actually causes Joseph to go down into Egypt, and he starts off as a slave. But kids, what does Joseph end up with by the time Joseph's a big grown-up? Anybody remember? Is he still a little guy, a slave, or is he something bigger? Remember Joseph? Yeah, I heard somebody say it. He's the ruler of Egypt, pretty much. He's like right below the Pharaoh. God raised him up, and we see at the end of the book of Genesis that He did that to preserve Abraham's descendants. All of Abraham's children will come and live in Egypt and be protected through this famine. And it will be there that they grow into this mighty nation. But as you remember, they were oppressed. A Pharaoh rose up that did not remember Joseph and caused them all to be slaves. And eventually God will say, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. If you look at Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 through 8, We see God saying, I am going to be faithful to my promises, and I will bring you out of Egypt. God said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived in it as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I, the Lord, your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. And the Lord does keep His promise. You remember the mighty stories of Moses crossing the Red Sea, leading the people out of Egypt. This is all part of God being faithful to the promises that He made. And then He takes them into the land of Canaan. He conquers the nations before Him and then preserves them. Doesn't just leave them there, but they're a small nation amongst a very large group of people. And God protects them while they're there amongst all those other nations. God is faithful. Okay, good. You're still with me. All right, now one of my favorite stories from the Old Testament is David and Goliath. Anybody remember that story? That's an awesome story, isn't it? And you could say it's just a story of a small kid, you know, fighting this big giant. Well, that's interesting, and we use that to describe, you know, when one team's going up a bigger team, it's got a better offense or whatever. It's a David and Goliath story, but it's really the story of God's faithfulness. Now, there's a song that we sing, and we're going to sing it here in a minute. It's a kid's song that has to do with David and Goliath. And I've asked two people to come up and help me with this song. David Granberg, because of his name, obviously, he's going to play the role of David. And then Eric Astacio here is going to play the role of Goliath. Now, to make it seem a little bit more realistic, we've got a special thing now there for Goliath to hold. Yeah, it's real. But don't worry, the Lord God is with you, right? Okay, so we're going to sing this song through here one time that has to do with David and Goliath, and some of you know it. There we go. And let's sing along. Once was a little boy named David down by the babbling brook. Once was a little boy David, 5 stones he took. And 1 little stone went into the sling, and the sling went round and round. And round and round and round and round and around and around. The stone went up, 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 and the giant came tumbling down. Okay, let's stop right there. Eric, come up here and lead this song for me. I thought I knew this song, but I guess I don't. Okay. All right. Eric's going to lead this song. Now, this time, act it out, okay?
I know my version, so... You ready to act it out, son? There once was a little boy, David, down by the babbling brook. There once was a little boy, David, 5 little stones he took. 1 little stone went in that sling, and the sling went round and round. Round and round and around and around and around and around and around. 1 little stone went up, 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 and the giant came tumbling down.
All right, good job, guys. It's not sharp, don't worry. No, it's not rubber. It's real. All right, thank you, David. All right. Okay, somebody remind me to get that out of there after church, I'll say. You don't have any accidents. Okay, well, like I said, this is a small story of an exciting, powerful moment in which a little boy conquers a giant, but it's also the story of Israel, because God stands behind the Israelites. He stands behind His people. He goes out before them, and He fights their battles for them. Doesn't matter if you've got the best charioteers in the world. If God is against you, you're in trouble. And God stands with His people. David learned this lesson. Psalm 34, it says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. All throughout the Old Testament, we see this principle at work. God is working on behalf of His people, and He is faithful. Amen. But here's another point. God is faithful to His people, but listen to this. He is also faithful to Himself. He is faithful to Himself. And this one might take a little bit more the thinking cap. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, if we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. God is a God who makes covenants, He makes promises, He is faithful to His people, but He is also faithful to Himself. Because when you make an agreement, when you make a covenant, you're saying, I will do this if you will do this. And if you're going to be faithful to yourself, when they break the covenant, you have to do something. And God is just. God is righteous. He is absolutely holy. And when people break their covenants with Him, He has to act. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, we see this famous section in which the law is repeated, the covenant is repeated. Remember, the Israelites kind of grumbled against, not kind of, they really did grumble against God in the wilderness, and they were punished. They couldn't go into the promised land. The generation that came out, they had to all die off. And when they got ready to go in, the law was repeated to them. But something of a principle was reminded to them, and that is blessings and curses. Can you go back, Roger? Thank you. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations on earth. This is chapter 28, verse 1 through 6. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed in the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. And he goes on to even give more detail. But then look at verse 15. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all His commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed and the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. God says, I'm making a covenant, a solemn covenant, a promise to you, but I promise I will be faithful to you, I will bless you, but if you are faithless to me, I have to act and curses will be yours. There is this principle in the world that when you follow God's ways, things generally go better. That's what the book of Proverbs is about, by the way. A good chunk of it is if you follow God, things go well. If you don't follow God, things kind of fall apart. And you know, we can immediately point to the exceptions to the rule. But you know that there was a missionary that did a study in Africa one time, working with these pagan societies, animistic societies, who came to Christ, and he studied them over a period of time, and he said, you know what, it's really true. They're doing better economically, they're doing better socially. He called it the lift principle when they came to Christ. And that goes back to God's promises. But the opposite is true as well. The sad recurring theme of the Old Testament is that God's people fall away. That God's people turn away from Him, no matter how many good things they bring to Him, to them, they fall. And God has to punish them, even while remaining faithful to His covenant. If you look at Psalm chapter 89, there's a powerful psalm there that refers to this basic principle of God being faithful to His promise, but yet He still must punish sin. Look at verse 30, Psalm 89, verse 30. Referring to David, the promise that was made to David, but it applies to all of Israel and to, I think, the world. Verse 30 says this: "If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging. But listen to this: but I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered." God sometimes punishes His people, but it's all within the context of faithfulness. Of faithfulness. We see this happen when the whole nation of Israel is sent into captivity. 722, the Assyrians come in, they take the whole northern part because they've just been falling away from God, and He says, "I'm going to punish you, I'm going to punish you," and then finally He does. The southern kingdom in 586 BC, the Babylonians come and take them into exile because of punishment. Because God must be faithful to His own, to Himself. You know, kids, if your parents have probably punished you from time to time. Anybody ever been punished by their parents? Okay, it's okay. You can raise your hand. All right? No details. Okay. But you know what? Have the parents ever said to you, "You know, Johnny, I'm doing this for your own good. You know, you're going to quiet time, or is it corner time, or whatever it is, or you're getting your toy taken away from you, your DS, you can't play with that. It's all for your own good, right?" Have you heard that? Now, it's true. They do. They want you to grow up to be obedient and be a good member of society because they don't want you to go to jail or something later on, okay? They're doing that for your sake. And you know, God does that too. He disciplines His people because He loves them. He wants to correct them. But don't forget one thing. God also punishes for His own glory. He punishes to be faithful to Himself, to be faithful to what He said He was going to do. He will not lie. He is absolute truth. And so throughout the Old Testament, we see this great tension develop. As you are reading the Old Testament, you will see this tension between God's love, His awesome love, His faithful love, His desire for you. We have a special word in Hebrew that's used to describe the steadfast love of the Lord. He loves you with a passion. But He's got to punish sin. He has to. It's who He is to be just to Himself. What will happen? How will this be accomplished? How can God be both love and justice? And in the Old Testament, we see that the answer, no surprise, is a covenant. A new covenant is coming. A new moment in time when God will make another promise. And in this promise, this tension is taken care of. The time is coming, verse 31 of Jeremiah 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. This, the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. This new covenant that's coming, this new covenant that the prophets kind of pointed toward, is something where God's justice and His love can come together perfectly. Where part of the covenant is a forgiveness of all of the sins in a way that achieves, that satisfies His holiness. And of course, as we know, it all comes together in His Son, Jesus Christ, who will take away our sins. And this is what we're going to be talking about in the next several weeks. God's justice and His love both being satisfied 100%. God is faithful. Amen. He is always faithful. He is truly a promise-making God. Next week we'll begin talking about this new covenant, this moment in time when God makes promises to the world, promises that He will keep. And the message of the Old Testament is loud and clear. The song that we sang at the very beginning of our service today, I didn't tell David to lead that song. You know, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. That's what we're going to be talking about. What's the message for me today? There are a couple things that I might point to today. Perhaps something you can take home with you. One is, don't neglect the Old Testament. We are a New Testament people. We're very focused on the New Testament. Okay, studies bear this out. Churches of Christ, we study the New Testament in our Bible curriculum more than anything else. Okay? But the Old Testament teaches us about God's nature. It teaches us about the way that He works. And covenant is a good example of that. The Old Testament, when you read about those folks there, you're going to read some things. If you've not read the Old Testament before, you're going to find some stuff that will be shocking. You'll think to yourself, that's in the Bible? Won't you? But you know what? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Because the Bible is about people who mess up and make mistakes and sin, and God has to help them and stay faithful to them. It's valuable for our learning and growth, for it teaches us about God's nature. Also, I want to just say this. Be a promise keeper. How are you doing on your promises and keeping those promises? This is a virtue that's not just a nice thing. It's actually at the heart of who God is. If you're a person who's working on being faithful to your promises, you're doing something that's kind of a shadow of God's very soul, His essence. Everything from, hey, yeah, I'll get that DVD back to you next week, Marshall, or whoever you borrowed it from. Well, if you said that, you better get it back to him next week. Work on that. Even though it's not going to get a late fee, I don't think he charges late fees. Or if it's something even greater, like that promise you made when you stood up in front of a bunch of people and there was your wife was all dressed in white, and you said, I do. And I promise in sickness and in health to take care of you. And she's not feeling very good. Well, keep that promise right now. Be with her. Love her. Care for her in her sickness, in her hurting. Whatever in between, the little thing like the DVD and your marriage vows, be a promise keeper. Be someone who keeps promises. That's the nature of God. And then lastly, I would say this. Act as if God is faithful. See, I almost got you there, didn't I? Act as if that's true. Sometimes we say, oh, God is faithful. We worship Him, sing these songs, and then we walk out and we don't act like He's faithful. We act as if we've got to take care of everything in our life. We've got to fix all of our problems. He's really not trustworthy to help me with these things. And so I've got to do what I've got to do. Do you believe that He's faithful? I want to encourage you to act this week as if He really, really is. And trust Him with those things you're struggling with. Those things you need to give to Him. Give those to Him. He's faithful. Oh, does that one count? I don't know. Okay, we'll count that one. All right. Well, this sermon is not really one that's designed to call for a response, but if there is something that is on your heart that you'd like for us to pray for you about, this is a time where you can come forward and make those things known. It's also a time, if you're somebody that's been thinking about becoming a Christian, we saw somebody last week that came to Christ and was buried with Him in baptism. That is always something that we are welcoming to do and would encourage you to do. Whatever your need is, if you want to come forward, you can do that while Dave leads us in this song. Let's stand and let's sing.